I want you to just picture a specific kind of Sunday night anxiety for a second.
Okay.
You're running a creative agency. You've got, say, 20 designers, 5 copywriters, and you have absolutely no idea if you have enough people to hit the deadlines coming up on Tuesday.
Ah, the staffing fire drill. I know it well.
You're basically playing Tetris with people's schedules, trying to avoid burnout, but also, stay profitable.
That's not just a nightmare for a lot of people in that world. That's just Monday.
It's Monday through Friday.
Bruh.
And look, usually the answer is software. You buy a tool. And today we're looking at a huge player in that space, Float.com.
Right.
So, in our deep dive today, Float is our subject. It's the number one rated resource management software. It's the brain that tells an agency who is doing what and when.
It handles the sort of physics of the business capacity, scheduling, forecasting, all of that.
But here's the thing, and this is where our experiment comes in. You can build the best tool in the world, and Float arguably has, but you're still fighting this war for attention. You have to tell the world you exist, you need to train people, you have to communicate your vision. That takes a huge media operation.
Which is so expensive. I mean, writers, videographers, editors, audio engineers, it's a production bottleneck.
Unless you cheat. Or, well, unless you automate the impossible. Today, we are smashing the Float business model against a new piece of infrastructure, the Auto Content API.
And this isn't just a chatbot, right? The documentation calls it a content engine.
Exactly. It takes raw data text, JSON, whatever, and it compiles it into broadcast quality audio, video, and social content.
So the mission here is a thought experiment. We're going to take Float, a company that's obsessed with efficiency, and just apply this API to every part of their business.
Marketing, support, internal comms, all of it.
And we're going to see if we can theoretically scale Float's entire presence without hiring a single extra person for the media team.
Okay, let's start with the biggest pain point for any B2B company: growth. Just getting people to care about resource planning.
And this is phase one, what the notes call content transformation.
That's an important distinction, isn't it?
It is. We're not talking about content generation where some AI just, makes up a blog post. Float doesn't need new ideas. Their website is full of case studies.
You have what?
They have the what? The problem is the format.
Okay, let's grab an example. I found this testimonial from an Emily Feliciano, Global Creative Resource Manager. She said her team used Float to increase on-time delivery from 40% to 90%.
Wow. That's a massive operational win.
It is. But be honest, if you're scrolling LinkedIn and you see a text post that says, "We increased delivery by 50%," do you stop?
Probably not. It just looks like every other braggy metric on the internet.
It's flat data.
Exactly. It has no depth. Now, let's apply the Auto Content API. Float could take that case study, the raw text, and feed it in.
And what happens?
The system doesn't just do a simple text-to-speech, it analyzes the narrative. It sees the conflict, that 40% delivery rate and the resolution, the 90% rate. And then it synthesizes a two-person conversational podcast about it, a bit like what we're doing right now. It creates this banter-driven audio experience where two AI voices analyze Emily's success.
Wait, hold on. You're saying the API generates a host and an expert to discuss a software case study?
Yes. So instead of a potential customer just glancing at a statistic, they're listening to a 5-minute deep dive on their commute. They're hearing a story. It turns dry B2B data into something bingeable.
You're automating the word-of-mouth effect.
That's a great way to put it.
That's fascinating, but I have to play devil's advocate. Podcast feeds are crowded. Just making audio doesn't guarantee people find it. The real war is on Google.
And that brings us to the second part of the growth strategy, programmatic SEO. Or PSEO.
Yeah, but come on. I know PSEO. That's usually where companies generate 10,000 pages that are all identical except for one word: best plumber in Austin, best plumber in Dallas. Google hates that stuff.
You're absolutely right. It's thin content and Google penalizes it. But look at what the API can do. We're not just swapping text. Float wants to rank for these really niche terms like resource planning for architects or capacity management for IT agencies.
Okay, so they generate the pages. How do they avoid the Google penalty?
By using the API to inject unique multimedia onto every single page, it's not just text. The API generates a unique 60-second vertical video that specifically talks to architects. Then it makes a different audio guide for IT
Good. Does
agencies.
the page for architects actually have a video where the script says, "As an architect, your billable hours are"?
Precisely. And this triggers a metric that Google absolutely loves, dwell time.
Right. For anyone who doesn't live in the SEO world, explain dwell time.
It's just how long a user stays on a page. If you land on a wall of text, you bounce in 3 seconds. If there's a video, you might watch for 45 seconds. That tells Google, hey, this page is valuable.
So you're dominating search results by automating video production at a scale that would be impossible manually.
It's brute force, but with high fidelity. It's leveraging the fact that video is our highest bandwidth format, and until now, it was just too expensive to scale like this.
Okay, so you've flooded the internet.
Yeah.
You've got the architects signing up. Now you have a new problem. They log in, and they have no idea what to do.
The dreaded time-to-value problem.
I've been there. You sign up for a powerful tool like Float, you see the dashboard with project scoping, financial insights, and you just freeze.
And you don't want to read the manual.
Of course not. So you send a support ticket.
And support tickets are the silent killer of profitability. They cost money, and they mean you have a frustrated user. This is phase two, onboarding.
The notes mention a specific API endpoint, video. How does that help a confused user?
Well, think about the normal workflow. You get stuck. You go to the help section, you find an article like how to track actuals versus estimates. It's just text and maybe a screenshot.
It's an IKEA manual.
It is. And keeping video tutorials up to date for software that changes every 2 weeks is a complete nightmare.
Right. By the time you record and edit the video, the user interface has already changed.
So the videos are always out of date, unless the API does it. Float could set the auto content API to just crawl their documentation. Every time a help article is updated, the API automatically regenerates a new 60-second explainer video.
Without a human editor even touching it.
Without a human editor, it takes the text, makes a script, picks an AI avatar that can be branded to look like a Float team member, and boom, new video.
So if they change a button from blue to green in the app, they just update the text doc and the video fixes itself.
Theoretically, yes. It's dynamic media. And for the user, instead of reading, they're being shown. The data suggests this massively reduces support tickets. People actually get it.
It's moving from just documentation to actual education.
Totally.
Okay, let's look inward a bit. We've talked about customers. What about the company itself? Phase three covers the voice of leadership.
Ah, this touches on a really interesting idea in the notes, the CEO paradox.
I like the sound of that. What's the paradox?
It's the tension between scale and authenticity. As a company like Float grows, and they're global, their remote employees want to hear from the leader. They want the vision.
But the CEO can't physically be in every meeting or record a podcast every single day.
They become the bottleneck. So the solution here is voice cloning. Now, I know that can sound a little dystopian.
It does.
Yeah.
I mean, my mind immediately goes to deep fakes.
And that's fair, but the tech has moved so far past those robotic voices from a few years ago. The source material claims these are natural, steady, and believable. They capture cadence, emotion.
So how would Float even apply this?
Imagine the CEO records their voice once to build a model. Then every Monday, the marketing team writes a script for, say, a market update or a shout out to a team. The API generates that audio in the CEO's voice.
So you could have a weekly update from the CEO podcast that the CEO didn't actually record that week.
Yes. And before you call it inauthentic, what's the alternative?
A text email.
A text email that nobody reads. Hearing the voice, even if you know it's AI, is just a higher bandwidth way to get information. It lets the CEO have a presence without spending their entire week in a recording booth.
And looking at the notes, it's not just for pep talks. It says internal knowledge transfer. Float is SOC2 and GDPR compliant, so they have these dense compliance manuals.
Those are boring legal documents.
Right. But if you can turn those into a private podcast, suddenly your sales team can learn about new security protocols while they're driving to the grocery store.
You're meeting the employee where they are. You're moving knowledge from a dusty PDF into an audio format that actually gets used.
Let's zoom out again. Float deals with global talent pools. Agencies are hiring everywhere. Phase four. Global expansion.
This is one of the most aggressive growth levers there is. Instant localization. The API supports over 50 languages.
But isn't AI translation usually pretty rough? We've all seen bad Google Translate.
It's gotten much better, but the magic here isn't just translation, it's the format. Let's say Float publishes a big guide on agency profitability in English. Okay.
The API ingests it, it translates the concepts, then it resynthesizes it into a German podcast, a Japanese video, and a Spanish blog post.
So it's not just throwing subtitles on an English video.
No, it's creating native media. A German-speaking avatar presenting the video, a Spanish-speaking host discussing the profitability metrics.
That basically multiplies their total addressable market, their TAM, overnight.
And think about the cost. Launching in Japan traditionally means hiring a country manager, a local agency. Here, you're testing the market with API credits. You see the German videos getting traction, then you hire a salesperson there.
You send the content out as a pro before you commit the headcount.
Precisely. And speaking of speed, we have to talk about newsjacking.
Newsjacking. It sounds like a crime, but it's a marketing thing.
It's the art of injecting your brand into a breaking conversation. The API has real-time social intelligence. It monitors X, a Reddit.
Okay, walk me through it. Let's say a thread on Reddit about agency burnout just blows up. Perfect scenario. It's Tuesday morning, the Reddit thread goes viral, the API sees the trend, it sees keywords like burnout, overtime, scheduling.
And it knows Float is the solution to that pain.
Right. It references Float's own philosophy that they're about work-life balance, and it automatically generates a script for a TikTok or a short video that addresses that specific Reddit thread.
And this happens how fast?
In minutes.
See, that's the killer feature.
Yeah.
Normally, the social media manager sees the trend, slacks the copywriter who drafts something, legal reviews it. By the time it's posted, the conversation is over.
Exactly. The internet moves at the speed of light. Corporate approvals move at the speed of a snail. This lets Float join the conversation while it's actually happening.
Okay, we have covered a lot. But I can hear the CFOs listening to this, tapping their calculators. This sounds really expensive. High-end video, custom avatars. Let's talk phase five. The economics.
This is where the math gets truly disruptive.
Yeah.
A manual, high-quality podcast episode, you're looking at $500 minimum. A good explainer video could be $1,000.
And trying to do PSEO with 5,000 pages?
Yeah.
That budget is just impossible. It's millions.
Correct. It's not feasible. Now, look at the auto content pricing. A podcast costs roughly 10 cents to 2 euros in credits. A video is around 4 euros.
Wait, say that again. 4 euros for a video.
Yes. We are talking about a greater than 90% reduction in unit cost. But honestly, focusing on the savings kind of misses the bigger point.
Which is the scale.
It's the scale, the logarithmic scaling. In a traditional agency model, you want 10x the content, you need 10x the people, you hire more humans. In this model, you want 10x the content, you just buy more credits.
The job of the marketing team completely changes. They start being creators and start being architects.
They become content engineers. They design the pipelines. They decide what the API should build, but they don't tighten every bolt themselves.
Which brings us right back to the start. You have Float the structure for work, and auto content, the engine for voice.
And when you combine them, you realize the limits on a company's growth aren't really about headcount anymore. Float helps agencies manage their people, but by using this, Float itself can operate almost without the limits of people.
It is the ultimate leverage.
It leads to a pretty provocative final question, though. We're used to judging a company's size by its employee count, right? Oh, they have 500 staff? They're a big deal.
For sure. They have a huge campus. They must be important.
But if a 50-person company like Float can generate the media footprint and the global presence of a 5,000-person company using these APIs, does headcount even matter in the same way?
That's the part that's a little scary. Are we entering an era where a company's size is defined by its API integrations, not its payroll?
I think for the smart companies, the answer is already yes.
Well, on that existential note, we'll wrap up this thought experiment. It really makes you rethink what a bottleneck even is. Thanks for diving in with us, and we'll catch you on the next one.